Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Had to work at that hymn a little bit, didn't you? That was a tough one, but a beautiful hymn. It talks about the ascension of Jesus. Praise be to God. Many people complain that the church through the world today is fractured. It's broken. Because there are so many factions or divisions. Some people complain about these divisions. Oh, they complain. It's all they want to talk about, the divisions of the church today. Everything is divided. There's so many different denominations. And they even think historically about all the splits that took place throughout Christendom. Are you familiar with some of the splits? The first big split, what year? 1054 A.D., the big split between the Western Church in Rome and the Eastern Church, Constantinople. You can visit those places, right? See the big split? That's a Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. Eastern Orthodox Church divided into the Russian Orthodox and the Greek Orthodox, although they're not too fractured. But then you have the Roman Church. Has that ever been divided after that? Oh, you bet. 500 years later, Luther and the German Reformation, a big split, if you will. And then the French Calvinists, they split. The English Reformation, the Anglican Reformation. And then you've got the Anabapt, the radical reformers. And then the New World in America and all the different splitting denominations. The new churches popping up here. So many splits. The church is fractured. It's broken. It's divided, some say. Some of the divisions are theologically motivated. Some are politically motivated, regional, cultural. Some divisions are sinful. Some of the divisions are just because people are stubborn and refuse to repent or recant or reform for the better. So after hearing our gospel today, where Jesus, the great high priest, prays to God that the church may be one, even as we are one, he said, therefore, what should we think about his prayer? Should we say his prayer hasn't worked? Are all of Jesus' prayers effective except for this one? Hey, 99 out of 100 ain't bad. No. When God's word says, let there be light, there was light. The light didn't just come on for 10 minutes and then sputter out. Or 100 or 1,000 years later, the light sputtered out. No, God has sustained the light by his word from the beginning of creation until now. There's still light here today, everywhere. God's word works, doesn't it? And Jesus, we know from the ascension, is God. And when he prays, are not his prayers answered? Isn't his word work too because he's God? In other words, what should we make of Jesus' prayer about the oneness of Christian unity? It's this. Despite the divisions that you see, the church is still one. How? Because Jesus prayed and taught us, Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. The key to oneness is not reconciling the split between the East and the West. That would be nice, but that's not the key to oneness. Or the Lutheran and the Roman Catholic split. If we can reconcile that, then we'll all be one? No, there'd still be the East, wouldn't there? Or the Baptists and the Methodists, all coming together as one big church? No. The oneness is here right now. The oneness of faith in the name Jesus Christ. We may be divided institutionally, some for good reasons, some for bad reasons, or theologically, some for good reasons, some for bad reasons, but we are not divided when we believe and confess the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. When Christians are baptized, they are not baptized into the Lutheran Church or into the Roman Catholic Church, or into the Baptist Church, or the Eastern Orthodox Church, although some think that only their valid baptism is valid when it's done in their institution. But according to Christ's word, what? There's only one name in which you're baptized into. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Scripture said there is only one baptism, Ephesians 4, and that Christ is not divided, 1 Corinthians 1. The one name that Jesus taught us to be baptized into is your name at your baptism. There is the oneness of the Christian church in you and throughout the whole world in baptism. So remember, the divisions you see in the world today, we are still truly united. Yet in the house of God, there are real divisions. True, sad, but there were real divisions in Jesus' day. And in the apostles' day, too. Don't think that they didn't have divisions. They had lots of divisions, too. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. Paul and Barnabas split. There's all sorts of things before the 1054 split. And yet, thank God Jesus prayed, "Keep them in your name." Not under the same pope. Not under the same governing authority. Or in the same rites and ceremonies. When churches start changing the name of Jesus, if they teach and confess some other name to save, if they deny Jesus' divine unity with God, or if they confuse the person and divide the substance, as we confess soon in the Athanasian Creed in a couple weeks from now, then they move outside the bounds of truth, and they contradict Jesus' prayer, and they lead people astray from God. Therefore, we also pray, "Lord, keep them in your name." But before we pray it, Jesus prayed it. That gives me some hope and confidence. We are weak. He is strong. His word endures forever. May God's work through the Holy Spirit even work through you and I, through us, to bring about the unity of faith and the confession of Jesus Christ so that we stay in the faith and that others come to know the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. May God work through our church, through our members, through our VBS, June 5th through the 7th, through our concert today, through pastoral care, through teaching and catechesis and confirmation, through Bible study, to keep and to gather into the one name of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen and now ascended on high for you. In Luther's Small Catechism, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Luther taught about those simple words, "Hallowed be thy name." Luther taught this: God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. I think that little phrase, that little teaching, could be also ascribed to Christian unity. Think about it. God's name and God's church is certainly united in and of itself. But we pray that it may be kept united among us also. How? Institutionally? No. By the Spirit working faith, universal, one, holy Christian church throughout the world. Keep us in that saving faith. There's not two Christs. There's not two ways of salvation. There's only salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. May God keep the world in that faith. Luther goes on, says, God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's Word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. People may be divided over the truth and purity of doctrine, and what it means to live holy lives according to it. Some will keep, others will profane God's word and his name. But the words of the Lord's Prayer help keep the church united, don't they? Not hallowed be thy names, but hallowed be thy name. And Jesus said in our text, I have given them your word. Not your words, but word. God's word has many parts and understandings for our benefit, for correction, for building up in the truth and the knowledge of God. But it is still called by Jesus the word of God, not words. And the truth he talked about in the text, not the truths. The oneness comes not by how we treat it, but by its very nature coming from God who is one. If you read the Old Testament, you'll note that there was a great division in Israel after the time of King David and Solomon. Remember the divided kingdoms? There was the north, Israel, and the south, Judah, and the temple. It was a political and a priestly division. Not ideal, probably not what God had in mind. In fact, he scolded them for this division. But note the grace of God. In each of these two kingdoms, these divided kingdoms, did not God raise up prophets? You had in the northern kingdom Elijah and Elisha and Jonah and Amos and Hosea. In the southern kingdom, you had Obadiah, Joel, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Micah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, just to name a few. Note that there's more in the south than in the north. Ha ha ha. Both kingdoms' prophets' words are united as God's word in the Old Testament. There's not two Old Testaments, are there? One. Not everyone was faithful in either kingdom. In fact, most people were faithless in both kingdoms. But God's grace was evident in sending prophets to each of those two kingdoms to bring about repentance, reform, back to God and his word. No more undivided unity. Singer Billy Joel sang in a song, we didn't start the fire. It's always been burning since the world's been turning. The first split or division was not in 1054 AD. The first division, the split, was between God and man in the garden. Between Adam and Eve and God. When they sinned, they fell away from God. There was a great division there. God kicked them out of the garden. The division between God and man was because of the tempter. And the result was sin and death. And he still prowls around seeking someone to devour. He's still dividing, isn't he? But God sent one man, one Christ, to reconcile us and keep us in God's name. He prayed and he prays for us still. Unity is not found in worldly institutions because they are made up of sinful human beings and the tempter works in them. And the institutional church is no exception. Even the so-called united churches, Rome and everybody, they have factions and divisions too. But unity in this life and the next is found in him who unites us back to God. In him who unites us by grace through faith in his blood. He who sanctifies us in the truth and thereby keeps us as one by God's grace, by his work and his word, not ours. Jesus said in our text, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Don't be tempted by the world. to think that the church is a fractured church because it has factions. Repent and think deeper. Despite the divisions you see, some necessary, some not, there is still one holy Christian church on earth, as it is in heaven. Why? Because Jesus, the great high priest, and his prayer is effective. It works. It has been heard and answered. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Help us, O God, to realize this and to teach in truth and purity of your word and to live and lead holy and forgiven lives according to it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.